call the meeting of the September 7th Recreation and Parks Commission to order. Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz. Commissioner Solu.
Here.
Commissioner Hensley.
Here.
Commissioner House.
Here.
Commissioner Mahan.
Here.
Chairperson Winter.
Here. Public comment period. Anyone wishing to address the commission on an item that's not on the agenda? I mean, that's on the agenda, but not for public hearing. No one wishing to address us? Okay. Approval of the minutes from the August 3rd meeting. Does anyone have any...
Center, they're going to be unveiling the framed U.S. Constitution and dedicating a reading center. And we're also going to have Council Member Thad Baxley there. The date is Tuesday, September 19th. From 5 to 6 p.m. at the Morbay Teen Center, which is also affectionately known as Rockies. It's 231 Atascadero Road. It should be a great event. Grace Melton has been as well behind the scenes working on this. A lot of things going on there. We will have refreshments, and the public is, of course, invited, and we'll have theme door prizes only for the teens. So make sure, we'd love to see you there. Again, September 19th from 5 to 6 at the Teen Center. And I think that concludes my announcements.
Okay. New business. The first item is a new Futures Committee presentation.
And I'm going to turn, I think, it over to Nancy and to Bill Newman. They're both here tonight for the presentation.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Nancy Castle, and I am a lifelong resident of Morro Bay. And when I was a little tiny girl, I watched as the power plant was built, and now 50 plus years later, a committee has been formed. The New Futures Committee was appointed by the City Council to look at alternatives that might happen on that property. And I haven't switched over the PowerPoint. The New Futures Committee has been hard at work investigating what might go on the power plant site, what regulators might have to say about what goes on the power plant site, and what sort of financial issues there may be surrounding alternative uses of the Morro Bay power plant site. You all recognize this picture. This is the current power plant, and what I'm asking you to do is to dream of what might be there instead if this were to go away. And the community has recognized that there is an opportunity to investigate alternative uses of that property, as we recognize that regulation and economics are changing the way power is generated in the United States. So the New Futures Committee recognizes there is this opportunity to make a huge difference on the waterfront in Morro Bay, and also recognizes that everyone in the community is a stakeholder of what goes on our waterfront. And so they've invited everyone to come to a community workshop that's going to be held on September 30th. This is what's here now. This is what has been proposed through the process of planning that was initiated by the Duke Energy Company, and LS Energy, who owns the property now, is at this point planning to continue to get the permits. And if you look over on the wall, there is one of the posters that was generated by the Duke company that gives you a better view of the area, the tank farm area, that would be used for the new plant. So if the new plant is built, which is the black area on this slide, there is the old plant site that could be developed into something different for the waterfront. if the old plant is continued to be operational, which is an option that LS Energy may decide to choose, then potentially there is the area, the new plant site area, the old tank farm, that could be used differently and more to the benefit of the whole community. And if power generation on the waterfront is deemed to be not economically feasible, potentially both sites are available, and a very large opportunity is provided to the community to help define what might go down there. So the new Futures Committee, as I said, have been hard at work at looking at the issues surrounding working towards an alternative. And they want all the ideas possible, daydreams, visions, you know, pie in the sky potentially. And bring them all out September 30th at the community center and share them with other people. After all the ideas have come out, brainstorming, an evaluation will be done, and again, the community will be asked to participate in that. So, again, September 30th, it's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a Saturday. There will be refreshments, and everyone in the community is invited. You can get more information through the New Futures website. It's newfutures.morrow-bay.com. And I checked it out last night. It's progressed from the point that you see on the overhead now and has more information. And there's also the opportunity to join a users group on Yahoo that shares information and ideas about the power plant property. That's newfutures.morrow-bay.com. So, again, here we have the picture of the current power plant. And these slides actually come from Rob Schultz's presentation that he did before the City Council, just before the committee was formed. And they're very entertaining. One of the best PowerPoints I've ever seen, staff reports. So here's a picture that was actually designed that could be fit on where the old power plant is now. A different view from down the bay. And again, here the power plant is gone, and we have a big building. Looks like Morro Bay land to me. And here's another opportunity, perhaps a mall. Buyers and sellers could congregate. Or a piazza with sand areas for adults and sand areas for children, play for everybody. Or a water-based place that would allow recreation and entertainment for everyone. And there's many other options, too. At the one brainstorming session, the discussion of an aquarium came up often, and that is a possibility, too. So all of these ideas may seem like rainbows, but it's possible. And as one of the audio points in this presentation by Rob Schultz said, there's nothing more exciting than a new idea, and new ideas do come to realization. So I'm inviting you on behalf of the New Futures Committee to come to their community workshop Saturday, September 30th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., to brainstorm ideas about what might happen on that property on the waterfront. And I look forward to seeing you all there. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Does anyone have any questions for Nancy?
I have one question. Is anyone considering something that's in the waterfront master plan, such as a boatyard, boat haul out, boat storage area along the front of the property there now, since that is in the master plan?
I'll let Bill answer that.
Stan, I'm Bill Newman, as you know. The committee knows about that, and that part of the property actually wasn't in those pictures there, some of it. This only covers the old plant and the new plant property, and across the creek and all that, or next to the creek, wasn't in that picture. But we're aware of it, and all those other parts and what would develop from it or keep on using, we're giving full consideration to as far as ideas.
Okay, because I believe The actual haul-out is just to the west, I guess it is, of the intake.
The next item on the agenda is the recommendation to replace the play structure at Delmar Park.
Well, once again, good evening, Commissioners. As most of you know, Delmar Park was originally built in 1980, and at that time, we put in the playground. The playground consists of an incredible swing set that is in good shape and probably one of the finest in the county, in addition to a pretty aging old wooden structure. We have continued to make significant repairs to the wooden structure at Delmar Park, but we're at the point now where it really needs to be replaced. One of the pluses with replacing the wooden structure is that we'll be changing the ground cover in the playground area, as well as putting in two paths that actually make the park, the play area, more accessible if we move ahead with this project. As I stated, the existing swings and the slide will remain, and we'll be taking out the jungle gym structure and the wooden structure to be replaced. You might recall a few years ago that we were very successful in getting two competitive grants for playground renovations, the one at Lila Kaiser Park and one at Monte Young Park. Those were through Parks Bond money that was provided in two separate years, and managed. Those grants were managed through the California Integrated Waste Management Program. Or board, excuse me. We were hoping to have another kind of grant of that nature come forward, and at this point it doesn't appear that that's on the horizon, and we feel at this point we really need to move forward with some sort of replacement project at Del Mar. So what we're proposing this evening is for the Commission to recommend to the City Council the use of some per capita funds that we received back in 2002-2003. The per capita allotment is based basically on the population of Morro Bay. In Proposition 40, which was a proposition that provided this park bond, we received $220,000 in per capita money. I think prior to that, there was there was another park bond that was passed, and we received $90,000 of per capita money. And you may recall we used that for a variety of projects, Delmar, some Kaiser fencing, and some Kaiser lights. The funds in the per capita program are on a disbursement type rather than a competitive grant. We have the money. It's been allocated to the city of Morro Bay, and the scope of eligible projects is pretty broad. We do have preliminary approval for using the money in this fashion, but we will have to. We're bringing this forward to you this evening, and we continue to work with a company called Miracle Recreation Equipment Company. They have been the supplier of our last two playgrounds. We're happy with their product, and it's held up. Miracle has been supplying recreation equipment to the city of Morro Bay for about 15 or 20 years. We had a representative come to the park site to look at what the area. It's kind of unique. Initially, when the playground was installed, the regulations on playgrounds were fairly limited or lax, I guess is the best word for it. Now we're required, we have additional requirements such as fall zones, so we're limited in the space that we can install a new play area. We couldn't take the existing structure and put in a similar structure of that same size based on what we've got. Anyway, we had representatives come and look at our site and provide a recommendation on equipment. We have attached some information for your staff report, and we'll go through that in a minute, about the proposed layout and as well as the two walkways that we're suggesting. We are looking at this point, two new play structures, actually, versus one. And the reason we're doing that is we're looking at a play structure that's more tuned for children 2 through 5, and then a second play structure that's really for children 5 and up. I put to 100, but we would let people play on it even if they're over 100. And we've got some Nancy has those up there, but we've got some color pictures, and I'll go through that in just a minute. The one thing that we would like if you feel that this is a appropriate use of these funds, we would like your input on the panels. The play structure comes with some different panels, play panels that we can put in, and we've been fairly successful with Monte Young. We had a group of kids that got together and gave us their input on the play structure and what kind of different panels we could have in. And we were looking for your recommendation, but we were going to be going to the Kids Club program because they're right there at Delmar Park, and we'd like their input input on what kind of panels they might like. So in your packet, we'll run through these things. Basically, we've provided a site report, which shows you, which shows you the two paths. And again, currently we don't have paths that run to the park from the main pathway, so this is a very important item that we're putting in. And then we're taking out you see the swing set and the slide remain, and we're putting in two new play structures there. Then this we've got a couple pictures, color pictures of what's going in. There's a larger one for the bigger kids. And we attached your staff report, and not necessarily need to go up on the overhead, is just the variety of panels that are available. Again, we don't really have, we're not at this point from staff recommending any specific panels, play panels. At Tylands Park, we like to keep it kind of nautical and a theme of marine animals and such, but we don't really have a theme at Del Mar Park. It's not, you know, castles or anything like that, so I think it's really up in the air. It makes it kind of fun to look at all the cool stuff you can do. I will let you know that in terms of the parks crew, they are always proponents of the less movable parts, the better.
Oh.
So you might want to take that into consideration. However, if there's something that has movable parts really cool, we can certainly take a look at that. That concludes my staff report. Again, what we're really looking for this evening is a recommendation from the commission for the staff to go to City Council to use up to $90,000 of per capita fund for this project. And if the commission feels that is appropriate, then we would move on to have your input on the panels. And I'm happy to answer questions.
Any questions for Andrea?
I have a quick question, Andrea.
Hi, Judy.
Does Miracle offer any structures that are less plastic and more? I mean, could we replace it by another type of wooden structure, more similar to the Thailand's type of structures?
We have looked. Miracle does provide some of those. For the most part, we are pretty big proponents of plastic because it just lasts longer.
Really?
Previous projects, when we've talked to the kids, they seem to prefer the bright colors of the plastic structures versus the kind of muted colors of the wooden structures.
Okay.
And such. So that's what we've seen generally.
Okay. It just seems I'm looking at these. It seems that all the new parks that are coming in or being redone, they're all starting to look exactly the same. very similar setup. And it's a shame. Thailand is a great example of something that's a bit different. There's a pirate ship. It's just, it seems like the kids play a lot more creatively at Thailand's than at these type of parks, from what I've noticed with my kids. So I was wondering if there are any other options rather than going again with the same type of setup and same colors, same type of panels that we're seeing in a lot of parks in the county.
We can certainly bring some options. The ship was built on site, so it had plans. It wasn't produced by a company. And if you wanted to reproduce that ship, it's kind of interesting because there's some playground companies that currently have pirate ships, but that was actually built on site by plans, with plans that were designed.
Was it more expensive to build the park that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tidelands
okay.
was extremely expensive.
Okay.
Any other questions? Christy?
Go ahead.
Sorry. I have a question. Andrea, can you go to that one there? I'm questioning, what is this little blip on this page?
Thank you, Commissioner Solo. That's called a multi-pondo, and it's basically a piece of equipment that I don't have a picture of, but it is similar. If you've been to the Kaiser Park playground, it's a standalone piece of equipment. That can be used. This is a piece of equipment at the Kaiser playground that moves on its own. Kids stand on it, and I should have brought a picture of it, but it's just a standalone piece of equipment that they've put in.
Okay.
Christy?
Andrea, just a question, I guess tied a little bit to the question of plastics. I guess one of my questions is, obviously we're, you know, as a community and the nation, trying to be more sensitive about our environment, and I'm just wondering what the track record is of this company in terms of what percentage of their materials are recyclable or recycled. I did a little research on some companies that build playground structures, and it looked like there's a fair amount of range. Some are very strong environmentally, 100% recycled plastics, last a long time, really low maintenance. And it looked like this company used some recycled materials, but I wasn't quite as clear about how it stands up against some other companies that are very heavily focused on environmental sustainability. So I was just curious if there's if you guys have taken a look at that, or if you're interested or willing to take a look at it. And then I guess my second comment is somewhat similar to Judith's, is that it's almost like we're having a homogenization of the of the playground structures, and that whether you go to Part A or Part B, they look the same. And that struck me when I first looked at these, because I thought, oh, these look like the other playgrounds that we've put in. And it would just maybe be interesting to explore some other park structures that are a little less common in our, at least in our neighborhood. I know one that's pretty popular, and I saw these in Seattle, is the, you know, where the kids hold on to the top and they get to slide down to the other end.
Is that the case for Miracle? I don't know.
Generally, the I'll answer Commissioner Mahan's question first and then go back to Commissioner Hale. The rubberized playground surfacing is certainly a surface that we can use. It is a surface that's accepted as well as wood chips. Generally, the surfacing companies are completely different than the playground manufacturing companies. The rubber surfacing is great, extremely expensive.
Even the recycled?
Absolutely, yeah. It's just not affordable. We wouldn't be able to do anything but put in surfacing with the funds that we have if we went to that. Interesting as well, there's some downsides with the with the rubber surfacing. We've seen some problems with tilings. Granted, that park is fairly old, and it was at the beginning when they put in rubber surfacing. Mm-hmm. In terms of playgrounds, I'm not a huge fan of the rubber surfacing. I like something else that's a little bit more movable, but it is extremely expensive. Getting back to Commissioner Hale's points, Miracle does use recycled material. Actually, the California Integrated Waste Management Board required that at least 50% of the product that you purchased in order to apply for the grant was 50%. And that's why one of the reasons we used Miracle. They have a variety of recycled content on their equipment. They use basically 50% of the steel is recycled. Their caps and clamps can be up to 100%, they say, and then their plastic slides are 100%, or their plastics are 100%. So they basically are saying that across the board they're 50% when all things are considered. It is certainly a balancing act when you're looking at recycled amount and durability and reputation. So we haven't done an exhaustive search, certainly, on other companies. We're happy to do that. What I would suggest, if the commission wants to look for something different, I would suggest that we come back. We're certainly willing to come back with some ideas from Miracle. We have had gone through a couple different playground companies. One of them was the company that provided the structure at Cloisters, a well-known company that we will not work with. So there's a couple of companies that we worked with that just don't have or have not had reliable equipment. So that there's a few that we want to stay away from. The smaller ones, it's hard to find about the reputation and durability. But we're certainly happy to come back and provide the. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. One of the things with playground equipment across the board is that if you're over budget by $5,000, you can bend and sway and pull out a slide or put in something that's a little bit less expensive. So I think we've got some maneuverability there.
Okay. And are we giving some new direction to staff? I mean, I hear that we'd like something more creative, but that's kind of vague. Playground equipment's a pretty standard thing. I know most kids want to slide, they want to swing, and there are other things that, you know, we're talking about 2 to 5 year olds and 5 to up, and people, I don't know. When you're a kid, I think the parents worry about it more than the children do, actually.
What did you can feel I say like something? About a year and a half, 2.5 years ago, we made a trip up to visit some friends in Monterey. We stopped by and played all day and had lunch at Dennis the Menace Park there. I don't know if any of you have been to it. Huge metal slides that the kids race down, rope bridge and just a lot of fun. The second trip back a year and a half later, they had changed the playground equipment and updated it to something similar to what we're looking at here. The most sought-after feature was actually the zip liner. It wasn't actually a zip line. It was a metal, similar to what Commissioner Hale was talking about. That was by far the most popular feature that the kids were lined up for. And I think that we do have to go for durability, because half of the equipment that is out at Del Mar Park right now, because it's wood, the screws and bolts have been rusted, it's been dry rotted, it's completely unusable or has been taken apart. So we do have to look at the durability factor, and you know, there's a reason why a lot of things are made out of plastic. You know, trash cans are made out of plastic because they bang them around a lot, and gosh, it's durable. That's why they're not made out of glass. But I do think that we can look at, you know, some of the creativity factors, maybe put in some, you know, fun. For instance, on the one, the picture that's shown here, there's two slides that jet out. Maybe one of those slides, since it's an upper deck, could be replaced by the zip line that takes the kids down. Or we already have a circular, there's a large circular, having been said, it's, you know, up to us to decide. So.
And I had one other comment. Another thing to think about is that these are mainly, except for Tidelands, neighborhood parks. So different children play in different parks for the most part. And so it's not really duplicating things if you're in a different park. I mean, it's the kids, different kids are playing in different parks. So yeah. But we don't want something too complicated that we have to maintain. I personally don't even know what the sliding thing is that you're talking about.
Oh, it's true. The kids love it.
I mean, it may be great.
You hold on to one, and one pulls higher at one end than the other, and they just slide down along Commissioner House, if I can add to what you've been, or comment back to what you've been saying, I think Morro Bay being such a small community, it is the same kids who attend all these different parks. We go to every different park all week long because you're meeting certain friends at one park because they live close by, and then they'll come over to your house and we'll go to our park. So in 1 week, we'll go to Del Mar, the Cloisters, Tidelands, Monayang. We certainly use what's available, and I think it would be a shame to duplicate what we already have. And if we can do something a little bit more creative, a little bit more fun, a little different and original, I think it would definitely be well received. And the kids do pay attention. A slide is not just a slide.
Well, I'll just go back to my original comment. Being different is a little vague to give staff back and say, well, we'd like something more creative. Let's be specific. What do we want them to do?
Well, for example, we have three slides up here. There's already an existing slide, which means we'll have four slides in one park. Do we need four slides? Probably not. That's one example. I'm just being reactive right now. Maybe we can.
I agree.
Think about it.
If I can piggyback on what you've just said, I think you're right. I think we do already have the curly slide. There's the other smaller structure, or is this
the
other structure that is going to have a slide?
Slides.
This one has two slides, but
this
I think some of these elements are really good that are here. For example,
the little climbing
yeah. things.
That's different.
Some
we've
curved
never seen
ladders, just some different elements that we can get in here that would enhance ladder.
We have that at Monayang. That one's at Monayang.
Right. The tube is good, but maybe altering a couple of slides. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever happened to those little carousel things that all the kids would get on and spin around?
Taboo.
Liability.
Yeah, you think of liability and certain stuff.
Unfortunately, all the really good stuff
is not allowed.
Is not allowed. Like, you know, the 25-foot slide.
Doesn't a zip line fall under that, though, to, you know, be off the ground and going at a accelerating pace and falling off?
It's going to be, it's not going to be the zip line you see in Costa Rica, but it's going to be, because that's what I envisioned, but there are some that are, you know, the slope is very gentle, and so certainly that they've got those components.
If Miracle has a zip line, I mean, that would be a wonderful addition. That would be fantastic. I think the kids do react to that. I mean, they love the zip line.
Is there a way they could, I mean, obviously you have some configuration issues. You've got to conform space-wise, right? So we could say, we think this would be great and that would be great, but if it doesn't fit the space, you know, we struck out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one idea, obviously they came and put some configurations together for you. Are they able to come back and say, I mean, I looked at a couple of these websites, learned a lot about playgrounds last night, and it looks like they're, you know, they're very modular. And so, you know, are there some other things they could show you that says, well, part A over here on the left could be replaced with, you know, option C or what have you. And I would certainly love to see some kids get involved. And if there's a, you know, we could go with choice A or choice B. Let's get a little committee together at Del Mar and let the kids vote. Let's get them involved in the decision making, just like you want to do with the panels.
We can certainly bring back some options. You know, we'll let them know that they're looking for creativity. And then certainly the commission can, we can take it forward to the kids. I'm hesitant to take too many options because it's got to be pretty limited. Otherwise, we'll never get out. But well, certainly we can do that.
No, I understand that. We don't want to spend an inordinate amount of time on this. Again, I'm wondering if they. And when we say creativity, that is vague. I wouldn't want to go back and say, can you give us something more creative? This might be perfectly creative from their point of view. So I don't know, again, if there's a way to, I mean, I'd be happy to look at the website and see if there's modules that we don't have.
And the company, it is, Mona Young is great. You can tell it's definitely sturdy, strong materials that have been used. So it's a success. That was a successful park.
Staff would like, if the commission is comfortable, we can get two things done at one time. Certainly you can make the recommendation for us to come back with you with alternatives. We do have a couple of other tasks to do. We have to submit a request to the state. The information that we provided them is fairly vague. If the commission is comfortable with the fact that you're comfortable with the recommendation to spend these funds, we could move ahead with at least a recommendation to the state. We won't go to council, obviously, until we have something like that, but if the commission is comfortable, that would be great. We also do need to talk to our public services department about specifications with building and cultural resources and those types of things. So if the commission can at least give the okay to move ahead with the use of the funds, then we can come back at your next meeting with more specifics, some alternatives and such.
Okay.
Okay. There was one thing I wanted to mention about the small, the smaller for children ages 5 and under. The structure that you're taking out now has two swings in it. It currently has two swings that are for children who are younger than 5. They're swings they're basket swings. Mm-hmm. We are keeping the old swing set. I was just curious if we had plans to replace one of those or two of those swings with basket swings so that those children could be swung, because are the children who love to be swung, mm-hmm. Or if a swing somehow could be integrated into this feature.
We can come back with that. I'm not sure if we can. When you start putting in swings, then you are into all sorts of different fall zones, but we'll take a look at that and see what we can do. With both your questions.
Because when you go out to the park currently, those two swings are probably the most used feature there.
I'd like to move that we go ahead with moving the $90,000, spending the $90,000 up to $90,000 of Proposition 40 per capita funds to upgrade the equipment at Del Mar Park to be determined. Are you going to bring it back to the next meeting in a different...
Yes, we'll try unless there's some timing issue with Miracle, but that's our intent.
Okay, so moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
up our park reservation policies and hopefully make them clear to not only our staff but the public in general. I included the background information that we provided to you at our, I think it was our last meeting, about how we handle our park reservations. But basically, in a nutshell, the public parks are set up on a first-come, first-served basis. We do have areas that are able to be reserved, and those include a couple of areas at Del Mar Park as well as Lila Kaiser Park. The reservation policy is there are two different ways to reserve our parks. One is through a one-day use permit, which is designed for small events, barbecues, birthday parties, things without bounce houses, less than 75 people. The one-day use permit, there is a fee. There's no insurance required, liability insurance required for that, and people come in and can get that on a fairly quick basis. The other permit process that we currently have in place is the public area use permit process, and that's for larger events, more than 75 in attendance. I always like to let you know that the public area use permit is also the permit that we use for things like parking lots and street closures, but that's not really what we're talking about this evening. As we told you at our last meeting, we have had a new request, I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, to use large parks of use large portions of parks for exclusive use. And what we've done with that is we've dealt with that situation through the public area use permit, but there has been some confusion about what that permit includes, what area is included, can you rope off certain areas like restrooms and playgrounds or not, and that's why we brought this item back to you to make some clearer use rules for our public area use permits for large events. In particular, we're talking about events such as weddings in the parks. That's become very very popular in parks such as Bayshore, Tidelands, for the most part. Those are the two that we've had a significant increase in. We took our parks tour in July, and we looked at each park, and we reviewed the areas that we're really talking about. And the commission at the parks tour really determined that we're predominantly talking about the turf areas, the grass areas at parks like Tidelands, Cloisters, Bayshore Bluffs, and City Park. Those are the areas that tend to be that people tend to want to reserve that really aren't addressed through the public area use permit system specifically. That's the permit we're using, but they're not addressed specifically. So what we're hoping to do is clean up our policy, and it looks like, based on our discussion and our parks tour, that we might write some sort of policy if the commission feels it's appropriate and wants us to come back in October to look at the reservation of the turf areas in those parks that I've mentioned, the turf at Tidelands, at Cloisters, those types of things. The park remains open to the public. And then we're also would not be in support of a policy that would allow for closure of an entire park for a private event not free and open to the public. And we have a couple of exceptions to renting or using all the amenities at the park, and those two exceptions that come to mind are the July 4th event and the Moro Bay Art Association. However, those both functions are open to the public. They're free and open to the public, and there's use of other park amenities. So I think that we're still, in staff's opinion, okay. What we're talking about is if somebody wanted to rent Tidelands exclusively and charge a fee and not allow the public to use the playground or the restrooms, and that's not where we're going. So what we're hoping tonight is additional discussion if the commission feels necessary, or just that we will come back with a draft policy on incorporating those turf areas into our existing reservation policy, if that's the direction the commission wants to move in. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to provide additional input or answer questions, and definitely want to make sure that this is the direction that we thought we were going.
Anyone have any questions for Andrea before we? Okay, any discussion? Joan?
I do have a question. You didn't happen to bring anything to show the commissioners exactly what area you're talking about as far as mapped out what you're thinking, or is that where you want us
to decide? No, that's actually, at this point, what we had... What we're thinking is the turf areas, but I didn't bring those specifically. Certainly can bring those back in October to talk about what we're looking at. That's why we're not addressing, for the most part, Del Mar Park, because we're thinking that at this point there are reservable areas there, and those are going to be it. But Cloisters, Tidelands, Bayshore, and City were the ones that we're looking at.
Are there any parks where if they rent the entire turf area, they are cutting off access to playgrounds or bathrooms or some other amenity that, you know, a barbecue pit or something, if they rent the entire turf area?
No, the turf areas are for the most part in those four areas. And we're not talking about Monty Young. That's the one that we just, at back basically at staff level, but certainly up for the commission's to other amenities. And again, that's something that we've put in to date. We've already done it. We've already really been acting with this policy. We're just going to formalize it. But we've put in our permits when people get married, and Thailand's is a good example because we've had some fairly large weddings there, just to let people know that there may be people cleaning salmon at the fish cleaning station while you're getting married, and that's part of an outdoor experience, and it's not something that you can limit. Somebody may be in the restroom, somebody may be swinging and playing Tarzan on this play structure while you're saying I do, and that's just part of the ambiance. And I think that's important that our parks remain open to the general public. But when we come back with a draft policy, if this is the direction the commission wants to go, we're certainly happy to bring back some pictures about what we're talking about, and the commission can make some amendments then, or if you want to include other parks that we're not talking about at this point.
Any other comments?
Does this mean the restroom will be open on the 4th of July?
That's a hot topic for the staff's report, and I just can't tell you right now. But
okay,
we'll be addressing it soon.
Do you need anything more from us other than the consensus that we'd like you to come back with the
It sounds and looks like the commissioners are happy with us bringing back a draft policy, so we don't need anything from you.
Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
Oh, go ahead, Stan.
Is there a fee schedule set up already for this? Or
we're going to use the existing fee schedule, so we're not recommending any changes to the fee schedule, but what we will do is bring that fee schedule back so it's clear what the commission is approving, because with these types of reservations, if they're reserving a large turf area, it will be a public area use permit, which means that there's an increased fee, and there's a use fee, a permit fee, and there's an insurance requirement.
Okay, thank you.
But it's what we've been doing.
Question. Just for my clarification, can like at Tidelands Park, what would be considered the turf area there? Is it the grass part?
Yeah, we're looking at the grass area, the basically south of the play structure and north of the restrooms. And that grass area is okay. Either bordered by sidewalk, street, or like garden area,
okay.
Planter area.
Okay, I understand. So it would take that and leave the playground and all
You'd
that.
You'd still leave the playground. And there's a small picnic area on the north side of the playground that would still remain open.
Okay, thanks.
At the beginning of the meeting, as well as things that they're doing, contests that they have, and all sorts of different things at the teen center. So if you have a teen, take a look at our website. We've got you can go to morrow-bay.ca.us and then go to our department and look at the teen center schedule. There's some neat things happening. We're also working, starting to work on having the existing pole barn that's located on half of the back of the backyard of the teen center over the miniature golf course. We're working on getting that removed, which is the first of many steps in realizing the master plan for the teen center. I wasn't sure all the commissioners were aware of the master plan for the teen center, so we've attached that to your staff report. We will be working as well with the Public Services Department on the environmental issues in order to apply for competitive grants. There's a couple of competitive grants, such as the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is available. The grant deadline's in May, and we thought we'd put together a couple of grant applications. We'll be bringing those forward to you prior to doing that, but we need to start at some time working on this project. Just to remind the commission, once this project is built, then the skate park out by Morro Rock will be closed. So I think we're quite a ways off, but we need to start, and that's what we're doing now. The skate park fall hours have also started. We're Thursday and Friday 3 to dusk and Saturday 1 to 5, and the skate park is also available for rental for parties. The Del Mar Tennis Court project, there is no update on that. As you will remember, we took prioritizing capital projects was taken to the City Council, and they took no action on reprioritizing the Del Mar Tennis Court projects. Currently, there are some priority projects, which include fire stations, harbor walks, and roundabouts. But the question was asked about the performance period for the Roberti Zeeburg competitive grant. Basically, we have from July 1st, 2004 through March 31st, 2012 to spend the money and be completely done with reimbursement. So that's the performance period for that grant. We have been working very slowly, but nonetheless working with the County of San Luis Obispo as well as San Luis Coastal Unified School District on furthering the swimming pool at Morro Bay High School. We did write a memorandum to the City Council just to bring them up to speed about the progress concerning a swimming pool at Morro Bay High School, and I've attached that memo for your information. No other movement has been made at this point. But we are keeping an eye, all three agencies are keeping an eye on there is a bond currently that is on the November ballot for, it includes some money for park and parklands and park improvement. We did begin Kids Club fairly smoothly for the first day. We are full at this point, and we have no staff shortages, so we're very pleased about that. You'll recall last year we were having some very difficult times filling our staffing requirements. All the individuals that participated in the registration in the month of June have been added to the program, but we currently have a waiting list of approximately 22 people. Those families have been referred to other resources through the Child Care Resource Connection. I believe the only part of the Kids Club program that's not full is the kindergarten program. I think they have availability there, but otherwise we're full. We have come to an agreement for the maintenance of the entry sculpture. You may recall, or you may have seen the water on the entry sculpture come on and then go off, and we have the moat around the entrance sculpture has been enlarged, and Morro Bay Rotary Club has, for lack of a better term, adopted the entrance sculpture and will be responsible for maintenance and repair for the next 5 years. So we're pleased about that. The agreement has not been signed, but we've agreed on the contents of the agreement, so we'll be moving forward. And you should see the water coming on this sculpture, I would say, in the next month or so. The youth soccer program has started practice. Their first games are this week, this weekend, September 9th. Smaller children are just playing in Morro Bay, and the older children are playing over the hill as well as in Los Osos. We have set a couple of tentative, actually they're not tentative dates, they're dates for a couple of upcoming events for the Morro Bay Community Foundation. The Dixon's annual spaghetti dinner is set for March 23rd, 2007, so mark your calendars because we'll need you to work. And then we are not combining the art show and the silent auction this year with the spaghetti dinner. We tried that last year and decided that it was best that we didn't do that. So we also will be having the art show and silent auction in April 19th through 21st. As Commissioner House requested, the City Council has taken a stand on public restrooms and the public restroom availability during special events. They, I believe, addressed that at their last City Council meeting. And what the City Council determined that for events at Tidelands Park only, the restrooms will remain open, and the permit holder will pay for any costs of maintenance of those restrooms. They did talk a little bit about other restrooms. For instance, during the Harbor Festival, we closed the Harbor restroom, and that's been going on for about 4 or 5 years with no significant impact, and it wanted to play that we expanded it by a couple of teams. I'm not sure how many games they played. I want to say it was about 60 games. During those 4 days, a lot of softball. But interestingly enough, we were looking at all but two teams were from out of the area, mostly significantly out of the area, requiring them to stay in or around Morro Bay. And we were looking at economic impacts the other day at the department and the economic impact of things that happened. And the American Softball Association put together some numbers about the economic impact of softball tournaments in general. And using the numbers that they've provided from the year 2000, we estimated that there was about a $400,000 economic impact to the city of Morro Bay as a result of the softball tournament, and I think it's something that is really important to look at. a little bit different than something like the Rock to Pier race. While there is many more people that come into town for the Rock to Pier race, for the most part, they come in and they leave. It's a one-day event. The softball tournament, all the teams hope they play for 3 days. Most play for one or two. But I think that I think that's why your economic impact is generally a little bit larger. So it's interesting information. We might try to put some of that information together for the chamber. They might be. I'm sure they'll be interested in that information from the department.
We need to make the Rock to Pier event a 2-day event.
Rock to Pier one day and Pier to Rock the next.
Rock to Pier to Rock.
And then we do not have any. We put off leash dog park on it, but we don't have any update on that. I think that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them about what's going on.
Any questions for Andrea?
I've got one question.
It's Dan.
Doesn't the harbor fund the maintenance of the restrooms on the Embarcadero? And if so, why does the money from the permit holder go to the Recreation and Parks Department?
The harbor fund funds partial maintenance of the restrooms on the harbor.
What portion do they fund?
Oh, you know what? I don't have that off the top. They have a off the top of my head. We do a fund transfer, and I don't know the amount. Off the top.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Next is written communication, citizens' reports, and correspondence.
Could you accept the status report for file?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Do I have a motion to accept the status
motion
report for
file? Motion 72 for file.
A second?
Yes, and that's the extent of our written communications.
Okay. Do we have to accept these for file? Please. Do we have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. No opposed. Reports.
We'll run through these reports briefly. Again, I'm always happy to answer questions or come back to you with answers from staff. I would like to note that we'll start with D1 and D2. Our participation, as you can see, this is for the month of July, so the first month of the new fiscal year. In our youth services programs, we're slightly decreased over last year's participation, which it doesn't present any significant concern. However, our sports programs continue to, and again, not significantly at this point, but we do have lower participation in some of our sports programs. We've experienced that somewhat in our junior lifeguard program. Our second session was smaller than our first. We're seeing that a little bit in our youth soccer program. We saw it in our youth basketball program. Interestingly enough, in terms of basketball, and I can't speak for the junior lifeguard nor the soccer, we've seen programs across the county reduced in number. So it may be that the program life cycle for that particular program is on a lull. We're keeping our feelers out about what's happening with some of the other programs, and we haven't heard anything consistent with fees. Certainly, one of the issues is marketing our programs, making sure they're out there with the limited resources that we have. So we'll keep you up to date. Again, not huge concern at this point, even with our sports numbers. We're talking about 300 participations at this point, but it's something that we want to keep an eye on. And that brings me to our facilities and parks report. And I will let you know that we, as the commission knows, we changed changed computer programs from our existing RecPro system, RecWare program, to active.net. And for the most part, it's going pretty well, especially with our program registrations. But we are having some difficulty with our numbers in our facilities and parks, numbers of use numbers. And so I think that at this point, Joe has prepared this report for you, but he's a little bit concerned about the validity of the report because we're looking at the numbers and we've got some significant differences in some of our use numbers, and we're trying to find out exactly what's happened there. So I think 53 last year, 430. And we certainly haven't had that much of a difference in Kaiser Park, so it may be what we're entering or not entering correctly. Other than that, we've got a couple of major events that happened during our facility in July of 2006 at the bottom, and a synopsis of the activity summaries for the Senior Center on the back page. Again, I'm happy to answer questions. Otherwise, we would request that you accept those reports for file.
Any questions? Andrea, do you know whether the cohort of children has declined so that maybe these reduction in usage reflects that there are fewer children?
We know that the number of children in the schools is less, but it's not as significant as our numbers are reflecting. So I think that could be part of it. We haven't heard comments about our fees, so it's rather interesting. One of the things that other recreation departments are experiencing is just the number of programs that are available. There are a significant amount of much more than were, you know, even last year. There are more availability. So I don't know. I don't think that may be part of it, but that's not all of it. And we may just be seeing a number of small things that are resulting in, you know, the numbers going down.
Joan?
Andrea, with our limited advertising budget, have you considered asking the principal, Mr. Schallenberger, at Del Mar Elementary if it would be possible to advertise sign-up periods for, let's say, basketball coming in the spring, or if there's openings in karate class on the kiosk at Del Mar School?
We haven't. We can certainly try that. In the past, I know, and it may have been a change policy, in the past there was a policy district-wide about those types of things. It seems to me that I've heard that the local principals may be having more say about what goes on with their school. We can certainly check into that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other questions?
I have one comment about your question. I went to the Bill Watkins economic forecast in San Luis Obispo a couple months ago or a month ago. I don't know when it was. One of the things he brought up was that the lack of family, you know, middle-income paying jobs, high wage and buy, and they can't afford to do any of these things. So, and I had another question. I wanted to know if anyone has ever considered at the teen center taking some of the kids out sports fishing on Darby's boat. I mean, it's an integral part of our community and something that a lot of kids never get a chance to try.
We'll throw that out. I will let you know that we have planted the seed next year for the Slow Blues games.
Sounds good.
Based on your suggestion. So.
Okay, thanks.
The good point Barbara just brought up, that the junior lifeguards have enjoyed a fishing trip on Burgess Fishing, and it's been a fantastic addition to the program. All the kids are taken out, all the kids that want to go and fish, and that's been a great thing. So certainly it's something we can do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Stan's comment reminds me that we need to let the community know that there are scholarships available for children who can't afford to pay for our programs, and they just need to come in and apply for funds to underwrite their attendance at recreation and parks programs.
That's a good point, Commissioner Winter, and I will follow up with it. The amount that we're giving out has increased. And as a result of that, we are giving out more scholarships, more money in the scholarships, and the amount that we've given out to date this year is more than last year, so that's good. I think we're up to 75% of program costs, Barb. Yeah, there's some criteria, but the application is very easy, and it's also in Spanish, so it's available. I would comment on Commissioner's House comments that we always talk about recreation in terms of youth, and that has been a large part of our department, but the other part of our recreation programs are for adults. Mm-hmm. And we may very well want to look in the future, and maybe the near future, to certainly not get rid of our youth programs because they're very important, but we have a large number of adults that participate in our adult sports programs and our belly dancing and such, and maybe we're getting to the point in Morro Bay where we're looking at focusing on, you know, the baby boomers and up that are now getting to be, you know, the older population, and formulating programs for those. And we may see more participation in our senior activities at the senior center, and such. So it's something to look at. You know, again, we think recreation, we think kids, but certainly recreation is for all ages, and it's, that might be where we're going, moving forward with that.
Could I have a motion to accept the reports for file, please?
I'll motion to accept the reports for file.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Senior representative report. I didn't have anything from the meeting, but I do have a few items that was in the senior newsletter. There are several emeritus classes that are designed for people 50 or older that are sponsored by Cuesta College that are being given at the Senior Center. And to find out more about them, you can call the Senior Center at 772-4421. They're watercolor, music appreciation, health and nutrition, and there's no charge for these classes. There are also several community classes that Cuesta is sponsoring. There are charges for these, but again, call the Senior Center to find out about them. The Senior Center is collecting any hearing aids that are no longer needed, but they need to be in working order, and if you'll bring them to the senior office, they would appreciate that. They also want to tell people that slow public access charter cable 1 Saturday at noon and Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. There's a program on assistive technologies, and they have an equipment loan library. You can learn about this on the cable channel, or you can call 549-7420 or 549-7424-TDD. And that's what I have to report. Any other commissioner reports? Christy.
I have a quick one. We just want to send a reminder out that September 16th is beach cleanup. And I know we have pretty good participation here in the Morro Bay Beach, so I want to encourage people to come out.
Anything else? Okay. We have no public hearings. A declaration of any future agenda items from the commissioners would like to see on the agenda? No? Okay. I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.